there was just a huge fire on the corner.
Jesus.
Actually, I just lied. There was a very small fire, and there were 9 fire trucks.
I like the fact that our relationship is so open. You tell me immediately that you're lying to me.
Yeah.
I like it. Like any good relationship, this is on the table right away. I'm lying
exactly.
to you, but...
I'm a fucking liar.
What was he wearing? Well, he was wearing a red Argyle sweater and tan trousers and red shoes. Hmm? No, he's not retarded.
Hello and welcome to another Surviving Radio podcast. My name, as always, is Red, and of course we have Denton with us as well. And it's a special magical podcast tonight because our good friend Jen Royal is also going to be joining us a little bit later to talk about her. She has a big fundraiser coming up later this month, so we'll hear all about that. But in the meantime, as we speak right now, the Red Sox are playing the New York Yankees in New York, and at last check it is the top of the sixth, and the Red Sox are up 6-2. And I think we've got 7 games with the Yankees this month. We've got 4 right now, and then we have 3 next, 3 in Boston. You know, after we play the Yankees, we're going to Tampa Bay, then we come back home for the Yankees and the Orioles and the Blue Jays. Then we have that real decisive 2-game set with the Rockies. Man, a lot of questions will be answered those nights.
Are they ever going to get rid of this foolishness?
I had kind of hoped they would. It really, it just is.
It's played out.
I think that's the best way to put it. I think it's, so long as there's money to be had, I guess they'll keep doing it. But do you see any scenario in which the Red Sox don't win the division?
No.
I'm starting to think, I don't want to say it out loud, because many a time I've sent it out loud. And you know, as a matter of fact, my friend, this October will be the 10-year anniversary of the Aaron Boone game. It's almost creepy to think that that's
right.
10 years away, but the 10-year anniversary. But currently, right now, 5.5 games over Tampa Bay, 8 games over the Yankees. I'm not even going to get into it, but well, Baltimore's only 9.5 out, but they might as well be. 19.5, like Toronto is. I think, Tampa Bay is always that object in the rearview mirror that's closer than it appears. And again, I always worry about the Yankees, but I guess you can never count them out. But I think we take 3 of 4. That's my bold statement of the night. We take 3 of 4, they're done. You know, you can file the Yankees away with last Easter's ham, as I say.
Is that what you say?
That's what I'm saying. And how long until Lackey just kills somebody at this point? I mean,
oh. Tomorrow.
Somebody gonna die.
He actually could have fulfilled your 20-game prediction if they scored any runs for him.
It's almost comical. I mean, what they're saying that the last 5 times they've been shut out, he was the pitcher? I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't even... Are they doing it on purpose? You know, it does beg the question.
It is almost that bad that you have to... I don't know why they would, but it's impossible. Like, what are the odds that this could happen? My brother sent me an email today. He's like, the Red Sox haven't scored 20 runs cumulative for Lackey all season, and they scored it last night.
I can picture him watching last night's game and just, like, retreating to the dugout and putting, like, I don't know, Vicks Vapo rub in everyone's jock strap or something. I mean, it can't be. I will say this, though, since my bold 20-game prediction didn't quite come true, I am going to say that I have a feeling that Lackey will shine in the postseason, that he's going to come up huge. It'll be some big decisive game, and he's going to buckle down and make things happen. The guy's got to have – he needs that one cathartic moment of, like, applause. I mean, I know he gets a lot of standing ovations. People appreciate what he's done, but I think he's struggled so much since he's been here, and he had the lost season last year, that he needs that one moment where he needs that one validation moment, like he's back. And you know, he's pitched some great games and never quite gotten the win, but I think something's going to happen in the postseason. And by something, I mean something good. Something's going to happen to you, buddy.
Well, man, that was Lester's redemption, beating Scherzer the other night. That was, I mean, he's been pitching well the last several starts, but that looked like the Lester of old, as they say.
How do you, now, you know what's funny is you hear people talking about this, and it's, and even if you went back and listened to some of our podcasts, I don't recommend it.
Who would do that?
I'm talking to you, Mom.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically speaking, if one were to go back a few years, it's funny to hear people talk about. I mean, you hear us talking about the Red Sox and some of these old podcasts, and we have these, like, I'm typically near an apoplectic seizure most of the time, but you hear these people talking, and by people I mean, you know, people on sports radio saying things like, you know, this team isn't exciting, that we have a first place team, a team that's been in first place for much of the season, and people don't really talk about it because they're not that interesting. But I don't know that that's the case. I find them very interesting.
I don't know how anyone could say they're not interesting. I mean, they have more come from behind victories and walk off wins than any other team.
And it's such a bizarre, you know, it's funny, you could watch any game. I mean, you can watch a game and you can see Napoli get up there and swing like he's, you know, like he couldn't hit a barn door, and you can watch, you know, Lackey go out there and do his best and never get any run support. And you look at these various individual pieces and you say, you look at Stephen Drew, who is the least imposing looking player who has ever, second perhaps only to Shea Hillenbrand and Jeff Fry.
Jeff Fry.
the least imposing looking players to ever step on the grass. And you look at all these parts and you say, how does this work? It's almost like 2000, I don't like to say it out loud, but it's almost like 2004. You look at all these various parts and things and say, how does it work together? But it somehow does. It's a team that, you know, they have for all of the season either consistently had the best record in the league, the division. I mean, it's been pretty steady rolling for much of the year. There have been those little moments, you know, August was not that great, kind to them, but they've had their moments where you thought, well, this is it, here comes the slide, but they've picked it up. Man, if they can put a hurting on the Yankees tonight on the heels of 20 runs against, you know, what's arguably one of the, you know, maybe the second best team in the American League in the Tigers, then I'd have to say that it's all done. And by the way, in the interest of full disclosure, I've got these, as we talk here, I've got all these windows open in my, and I'll tell you what windows I have up on my computer right now. I've got Boston.com to track the score of the game. I've got the regular season standings for the American League. I've got the Red Sox calendar. And I have the Wikipedia page for the movie Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Of course.
Yep, just doing a little Roddy McDowell research.
I would expect nothing less.
Just making sure. Gotta make sure.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know how people could say the team isn't exciting. I can understand, because I've been one of them all year that looks at them on paper and says, how the hell are they doing what they're doing? But honestly, if you took every one of these guys and threw on, like, old-school baggy gray sweatshirts and some, like, beer league softball team T-shirts, they could pass for, like, any town USA's softball team.
Yeah.
A bunch of fat guys with beards.
But somehow it all works. Somehow it's all...
I don't know how, but it is.
I wonder, though. I mean, I think the playoffs are a given. I mean, how far does this team go in the playoffs? I know it's not really all that fun to speculate because you like to see how the things play out, but, you know, I think the pitching, I look at the pitching, and I think if Lackey, and again, when you're in the playoffs, your margin for error is significantly lower than, you know, say when you're playing the Chicago White Sox for four games at home, but I have to figure that any team that goes into the postseason with Lackey pitching the way he has, and Lester, and Peavy, I mean, just those three alone. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with Clay. I still don't believe he's coming. I don't believe.
I don't think he is.
I don't think
he's pitching tonight in Pawtucket, right?
Ah, shit! I should have gone. That's right.
Get that window open.
I know. but I have to figure that in any playoff series, you know, when it comes down to pitching, I think that I gotta think that we'd be the favorites to go all the way through.
It's well. The only concern I have is pitching is great. When we face good pitchers, they shut us out.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of a problem.
Well, yeah, there's that.
That's why I think that game the other night, again, I hate to keep going back to it, but that game against Scherzer, the guy's 19-1.
Yeah.
And they found a way to beat him. That was Middlebrooks has another home run tonight. Victorino and Middlebrooks have home runs.
I saw Victorinos. You know, that's too bad. Middlebrooks has taken off, because I thought my shirt idea, aw, Shittlebrooks, would have been a great one.
Oh yeah,
but yeah.
That and the Aaron Hernandez jerseys would be big sellers.
I got them. I got. Well, man, aren't we sitting on a warehouse full of Beckett and Uke shirts?
Hey. Well, no need to bring that up right now.
We might have to contact Building 19 and see if we can get something going with that. What do we have to do? We have to torch them, and then Building 19.
Exactly.
My parents, when I was 7 or 8, my parents got me a coat from Building 19. I just remember I used to set off the fire alarm every time I wore it. It was very comfortable otherwise. But so, all right. Well, we do have Jen Royal is going to be joining us in just a couple of seconds to talk up her. Bring it on. But before she comes here, any final word? Is Red Sox playoff bound? You say?
I say they're going to take 3 out of 4 this weekend. I'm just hoping they start piling on like they did last night, and there's a brawl, and nobody gets hurt, of course.
Of course, that's all we need is John Lackey stumbles into the Donnybrook and his lumbago kicks in or something. I mean, that's the main thing, is you don't want anybody, you know, who was that guy who got body slammed one time? Or
Brian Daubach.
Brian Daubach.
I still have that picture of him cringing from Roberto Hernandez in my mind. That was the most embarrassing moment in Red Sox history.
It was almost, that was a scene that would not have been out of place in the Avengers movie.
I don't remember what started the brawl.
I do remember Roberto Hernandez's very presence is sometimes enough.
That's right. That's no machetes involved.
No. Okay, and right now we have with us someone who, I don't know how the fuck we con her to keep coming on here. I think she's done about 7 or 8 podcasts with us, and each time
lose brain cells.
We gain ratings, but you lose brain cells and whatever.
Yeah, great, and I lose ratings.
Exactly.
Nice work, buddy.
And whatever amounts of self-respect you might have had just kind of filter away. The last remnants of it just kind of dissolve. Even as you and I are speaking right now, that's your self-respect is just kind of dissolving away. But you know what? Most women who encounter me on any level probably get that feeling too. But at any rate, we have with us our good friend, our favorite guest, Emmy winner, queen of Twitter, Boston Herald radio personality, what else? Ass kicker extraordinaire, champion of causes,
dog lover,
drinking buddy of Mike Napoli. You've actually been drinking with Mike Napoli, right? Because I imagine he can put away the beer like through osmosis.
Have we been out drinking? Not as much as I thought we would, to be honest with you. He came to Boston and really built a life for himself. He didn't really need me to introduce him to a lot of people. He's really having the time of his life here. And please, I would just drag him down in terms of people would think we were dating. So it's better that his best gal pal is probably nowhere around him while he's out.
Gotcha. I just imagine him touching the glass of beer and absorbs it. Like, he doesn't even have to bring it to his mouth. Like, he just touches it. Like the Galactus of drinking, he just, through osmosis, his body just sucks the atoms of the beer into his body. I don't know. That's my thing. But at least that's good to know. You know what? The time you don't spend with him is more time you can go drinking with Denton and I. So it's a win-win for all of us.
Yes, that is very true. Although you've never invited me out drinking, and he does. So that just goes to show who I'm better friends with.
That's it. Well, I don't have any money, so that's part of it, too. It would get embarrassing if I had
money. That is a good point.
That's a different...
That is a good point. I always know when I'm with Mike. I'm taken care of.
Exactly.
But I always try to pay for stuff, and he's like, no, no, no. I always, I have this thing, just because you're a female or just because you have a rich friend doesn't necessarily mean they're supposed to pay for everything. So I always say, you know what, you don't have to pay. And he just looks at me like I'm crazy. Like, dude, really?
See, that's the advantage of just being the guy with the blog, because everyone just assumes you're 3 steps up from, poverty. Like, there's homeless people who probably are better ensconced in society than I am. So it's just a natural assumption. Red can't possibly be, how is he going to get home? Like, they feel bad for you. They just, it's... I've been milking it for a couple of years now, so I think I've got a thing going. But it's obviously a busy time for you. The very first time we spoke a couple of years ago, you were just moving back to Boston from Baltimore, and now
year and a half,
And now you're everywhere. You've got the Boston Herald radio show every day, and that's from 3 to 6.
Yep.
How's that going? How's Meter Perel treating
you? It's fun. Yeah, Meter's cool. People think I bust on him a little too much, but it's kind of my shtick to be the tough girl, and it's kind of his shtick to be the punching bag, so it kind of works out. But it's good. Our numbers are tremendous. I wasn't sure what it was going to be like going into it, but, you know, every week we get the numbers, and we just look at each other like, whoa! So it's been fun. I forget that there's cameras on me, too. So, you know, we have all the webcams in the wall, which is, I don't know, I guess it's kind of weird because, you know, well, put it this way, my mother texted me once, and she said, I just saw you picking your ass on the camera.
Excellent.
And I was like, I forgot. I forgot that the camera was there. So she said, you walked right in front of it, and you picked your wedge.
Excellent.
So when you're doing radio, and there's cameras in the wall, or cameras in the room, like even at EEI, it's kind of awkward. But it's good. You know, the best part I love about it is being able to do whatever we want. Like, we don't really have any rules.
It's almost like freeform jazz, you may say. They're just kind of pushing new ground as they move along.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. It's if you think, okay, when I listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub or WEEI, I never listen to them in my car. And I don't have a radio in my house. So all these times I've been listening to, you know, Sock and Holly or, you know, Felger and Naz, it's through my phone or it's through my computer. So it's so funny when people say to me, what station are you on? And I'm like, it's online. They're like, what do you mean it's online? I'm like, what do you mean it's online? How the hell, you listen to Felger and Naz online? I know you do. You know, you listen to EEI online. You know, you listen on your phone, you listen on your computers. Who the hell is in their cars listening to sports radio if you live in the city?
What, do you have a record player in there too, dude?
Exactly.
Crank up the Victrola?
Yeah,
exactly.
We got Walkman, you know, you're dialing on the FM, on, you know, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. So my laser
really
disc player.
It's not that strange.
Exactly. You have been, obviously, a very busy time for you, all kinds of things going on. You have a very excellent event that's lined up for later this month. But before we get to that, we'll talk all about that. I just want to ask a couple of questions about our good friends, the Boston Red Sox. Obviously, they have a very tough September ahead of them. They have the Tigers. Over the next 30 days, they play 25 games. 19 of them will be against divisional rivals.
They have a nice, useless two-game trip in Colorado. That's fantastic.
That could be the pivotal one, though. You never know. 7 against the Yankees, 6 against the Orioles, which is the last team I ever want to be facing with a playoff spot on the line, 3 against the Rays, and then 3 against the Blue Jays. And then, of course, on top of that is that, you know, you hear a lot about the whole specter of September's past, specifically, you know, the last two Septembers. A lot of people say, well, the Sox, as the fancy lads from NASA in the glasses and lab coats say, they really suck shit the last couple of Septembers, really some bad Septembers. But do you think that this is something, you know, this whole, you know, can the last two Septembers have been bad, ergo this September could be a challenge for them? I mean, is that legit? Does it seem bullshit to you? I mean, it's really the fact there's a new group of guys, no Bobby V, do you think it's just something that they're just going to roll along and do as they have done so far this season?
I do. I don't think anything's going to really change this last month. I mean, last year I think everybody was pretty miserable. There were so many injuries. It was such a negative atmosphere. The clubhouse sucked. You know, Lackey was hurt. You know, there were just so many things that were bringing the team down I can't even go through them all. It was just, it started with the manager. You know, people just, the players didn't like Bobby Valentine, and that's number one. You know, if you don't like your manager and you don't want to win for your manager, then you don't really want to win. The year before, you know, from what we've seen, from what we've heard, Tito lost the clubhouse. John Farrell is not losing this clubhouse, and they want to win for John Farrell. And both the times that I've spoken to David Ortiz, once at Fenway Park, completely off the record, and he, like, pointed, like, legit pointed across the room to John Farrell's office, and he was like, he's the man. He was like, he's the reason why, you know. Oh, that was a horrible David Ortiz.
I thought for a minute you actually put him on the phone.
Kind of like, what's the guy from the A-team?
Mr. T?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Be the man, John Farrell.
That's pretty good. You're versatile,
you know,
there.
Like, it starts from that guy right there. And that's, the, you know, they want to win for him. And I think the fact that they've brought in such high character guys, and it's not bullshit, and it's not coincidence that these guys are in that room. You know, they handpicked these personalities, the Mike Napolis and the Johnny Gomes, and you look at their beards, and, like, you know, when's the last time you were talking about beards? It was Johnny Damon, and they won the World Series. So I think that just the fact that everything is so lighthearted and everybody's having fun and they want to win for John Farrell, they're not gonna collapse. They're not gonna do it under John Farrell's watch. And this group of guys, they actually love each other. They enjoy being around each other. They support each other. You can just see from the dugout how much fun they're all having. And I don't see a collapse happening. Do I think the playoffs are a given? You know, 90%, but, you know, they still have to win in September. As long as they don't get complacent and think that they have it in the bag, then they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Is there any team that you would prefer to not see them face? Actually, I just want to see them avoid the one-game wild card. I mean, I think winning the division is really the way they need to go. The one-game thing really frightens me.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are scary. You've seen the run that they've been on. Over the past month or two, actually, that's been pretty, like, incredible to watch. Tampa still scares me. You know, everything about Tampa scares me, and it's their pitching, it's their defense, it's their offense. You know, they've been a pretty resilient and, you know, well-balanced team throughout the year. Baltimore doesn't scare me. Their closer situation is horrible. Jim Johnson hasn't been very good lately. They don't have the starting pitching, I think, that can get them very far. And the Yankees obviously don't scare me at all. So, you know, in Toronto, they're out of it. Stupid Canada. So I... God, those people. I can't
those
with them.
Canadians.
I can't with them. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the division is a lock, but, yeah, I mean... Listen, if they're not going to play the Dodgers anymore, that's good. And again, they won 2 out of 3. They didn't face Los Angeles' top pitchers, but I think they're a lock for the playoffs. 90% sure. 90% sure.
How long until John Lackey goes crazy and actually strangles somebody in the dugout? I mean, the guys had such. He's the comeback story of the year, really, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, who told you that?
You did. You did. You were on that.
Exactly.
You picked it. Hey, I picked him for 20 wins this year. If they got a couple of runs, he might have actually done it.
I picked him for 13, but you know what? He should have 16. I looked at all of the starts. He should have 16 wins right now. So you know what? He might have got the 20. Yeah. He would have had my 13. But this is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that this guy doesn't get any run support. But you know what I love about him is the fact that every time the team wins, but he doesn't get the win. You know, he says, "Listen, it's a team effort. I don't care about wins. You know, I'm just glad that the team got a victory." So, you know, he seems to have matured over the past couple of years. That's for damn sure. And I think it's, you know, I don't think it's an excuse that Josh Beckett is gone, and he's obviously, you know, a classier person. You hang around Josh Beckett, you're classed down in a heartbeat. So I just. You know, I'm just glad that he's having a good year.
Excellent. If the season ended today, who's your MVP of
Koji.
This team?
Koji. What up, Koji? I mean, this is the thing. When I covered him in Baltimore, he had these massive sideburns, like, down his face. They were so badass. So I'm hoping he brings the sideburns back for the playoffs. In fact, the next time I'm in the clubhouse, I'm going to go and I'm going to ask him to grow his sideburns because they're like mutton chops. They're sick.
That is awesome. They are like they're almost vintage. 1777 U.S. House of Congress.
They're a little scary, but yeah, Koji, he's been ridiculous, and the fact that he's the third choice or was the third choice to close. I can just picture like, a little Japanese man in the background like waving his hand like, "Hi, I'm right here. What about me?
Does he realize how giant and bright yellow his glove is, though? It's very unsettling to me every time I watch him pitch.
Everything about Koji is unsettling to me, let's be honest. Even his talent is unsettling to me. Like, where'd you come from? What is this?
That is amazing. And you hit on the
right. He sucked when he was in Baltimore, so it was weird.
You hit on, I think, the best point of that is that he was like, I mean, that coming into this year, you're always happy to see those pleasant surprises, those things that you don't count on.
They spent all this money on Hanrahan, who they didn't need, but everyone knows I'm a huge Andrew Bailey fan. And then, you know, Andrew had the thumb injury that was non-baseball related, which I think was really difficult for Andrew to swallow. And then Andrew, of course, got hurt. And the two of them both had season-ending surgery. I don't need to recap what happened, but it's just funny that the third guy ends up being the charm.
Somebody was on TV the other day saying, you know, no one's really talking about this team. And
do we talk about?
Do we take it for granted? I mean, you and I grew up at a time. You and I mean, I'm a lot older than you. I'll be 75 in another month. But I mean, I grew up.
My birthday's tomorrow, by the way.
It is.
It'll be my birthday in 3 hours and 20 minutes.
What are you doing? Anything crazy?
I'm probably going to go out with, like, my besties, like my three girlfriends, just for some cocktails, because I'm taking Wednesday off of work, and I'll tell you why in a second. And then I'm actually having a little party on the 14th, because I always get hosed. Labor Day weekend, all my friends are away, which blows. It's blown since I was a child. Everyone's on vacation for Labor Day, so I can never have a birthday party. And then the following weekend, this upcoming weekend, the Red Sox are in New York. And I could never, ever, 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 ever have any sort of a birthday celebration without Jessica Moran. So I have actually waited. I'm actually waiting an extra 7 days for J-Mo to come home to have my birthday celebration.
Nice. And you've taken a couple of days off in anticipation of the fact that you're going to need to be bailed out of some Puerto Rican prison or something like that.
No, you know what? I'm not as crazy as I used to be. In fact, this is the thing. I get the drunkest, the fastest, and I'm home the earliest. So I'm doing something wrong. I'm always the first to leave the bar. I'm always the first to leave wherever we are. We went to dinner the other night, just me and two other girls. We went to Red Lantern, which is one of our favorite sushi places in Boston, and we sat at the bar, and I was like, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to drink. We ended up getting three martinis and a one each, and all I heard was Jennifer and J-Mo looked at me, and my drink was empty, and they had two sips out of theirs.
Gotcha.
So I have, my drinking problem is that I consume alcohol way too fast.
So you're actually, so screw Napoli, you're the one who's drinking by osmosis. You're the one who's
actually,
touching the glass.
To be honest with you, I think the last time we went out and Mike was there, he said to one of my girlfriends, like, she's got to stop it. Like, she's too old for this. Like, you know, you got to tell her that she needs to stop. I don't even know what I was doing, but.
That has got to, you know what, with that one sentence, you've just told me everything I need to know about your drinking prowess. When Mike Napoli is saying, that's like Duff McKagan getting kicked out of Guns N' Roses, you know, that's like Mike Napoli. Say, whoa, you got to calm down, the drinking.
Well, no, you know why? Because we were just, like, hanging out, like, watching a hockey game. It was, like, just one of those nights where people were having a couple beers, and I had four vodka sodas. So that's the other thing, too. And I stopped drinking beer. So it was nice to go out for a couple beers or, like, you know, share a pitcher with my girlfriend or, you know, go out and watch a baseball game and or watch a hockey game. And ever since I became a reporter, I don't really have any interest in watching sports.
Right.
Unless I'm at work. So when I go out, you know, now they have all these different kind of fruity, you know, martinis, and they have, you know, Three Olives makes every single brand of freaking vodka you can think of, every flavor. I mean, root beer, Fruit Loops, you know, Mountain Dew. They actually have alcohol that tastes like your favorite beverage. So all you have to do is add soda water, consume, and be bombed.
Yes, yes. You seem to know a lot about the various flavors. Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, it's ridiculous. So now that all these flavored vodkas have come out, I found myself in a little bit of trouble. But I'm getting older, which I love. I actually love the fact that I'm getting older, not that anybody else is getting any younger. But it's funny, when I look at like my other girlfriends who are sports reporters in town, I'm like, that was me 10 years ago. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Like, I'm ready for, like, another phase. Like, I wanted to move home and have a radio show. I wanted to move home and, like, do a couple of television appearances. I didn't want to go to the ballpark every day anymore. I didn't want to have to do post-game and, you know, sit through rain delays and extra innings. I have no interest. I did that for 12 years. So I just need to figure out how to be a better drinker.
Excellent. Well, under the tutelage of Napoli, I'm sure you'll be able to carry through. Now, if people are interested in seeing you drinking in real life, they can come on Monday, September 16th.
Yes.
You're going to have an event at the Harp down there on Causeway Street.
Yeah, I'm having a huge charity event. One of my best friends, really, on the planet was my girlfriend Mandy Minocchio. She's Asian. She's beautiful. She's so lovely. We actually moved to New York City together about 15 years ago. She is now married. She married. She's from Walpole. She went to Walpole High School here in Massachusetts, and she married a New Englander as well. And they have two little boys, Trey and Kai. Gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little boys. You know that mix. You know, Asian American. They are strikingly gorgeous children.
That's me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know what you're talking about. Anyways.
And she wasn't feeling good. She went to the hospital. She wasn't getting any better. And, you know, she's, she has a very similar personality, you know, like mine. And she was just like, why the fuck aren't I getting any better? This sucks. I need IV, you know, Billy, you know, to her husband. Why the fuck do I still feel sick? This is bullshit. She had a good sense of humor about it. And they took her blood and they did tests and tests and tests. And it ends up that she has AML. She's suffering from leukemia. And she needs a bone marrow donor. She needs a bone marrow transfer. So it's been really difficult. She's been quarantined in NYU Medical for the past almost 2 months. And the sad part about it was she said to Billy, her husband, I'm done with New York. I think it's time to move home to Boston. And so Billy and the kids came home before her. She had a couple more months left of work, and she's actually stuck in New York.
Wow.
And the kids and her husband are here. And she's my age. She's around, you know, late 30s, early 40s. Actually, she's early 40s. And she actually was just released from the hospital a few days ago because she wasn't a threat to herself anymore, but she was quarantined from her kids for quite some time. She's having a really hard time finding a donor because she's Korean, and she's in America. So that's really the situation. She needs a donor, and she's very ill, and I'm throwing her a fundraiser on September 16th. It's a Monday night. The Red Sox and the Orioles are both in town. It's an off day for both of them. I think the Orioles fly in the night before because they have a day game in Toronto, and then Monday's an off day, so they don't play till Tuesday. So they come straight from Toronto again, fucking Canada. So they come in on Monday, on Sunday, but for everything. So the Orioles and the Red Sox are here, so I have the harp to myself pretty much, and it's $20 to get in, and it is going to look like a baseball stadium, like, threw up all over the harp. I have, like, 75 pounds of peanuts. I have, I'm wheeling in, like, a massive popcorn machine and a candy, cotton candy machine. I have 750 Baby Ruths. I have 400 boxes of Cracker Jacks. I have a penny candy bar that'll blow your mind.
Nice.
Sweetest Fish, Licorice, Tootsie Rolls. I'm looking at everything right now. Yes, I've opened a few bags. Double Bubble, lollipops, chocolate-covered baseballs, gummy bear, sour worm, sugar daddies. We have baseball cupcakes. We have what the hell else do we have? Big League Chew donated 300 bags of bubble gum. The harp is going to be passing around big soft pretzels and hot dogs. We have Wally the Green Monster coming from, I think, 7:15 to 8:15 to see all the kids. We have Major League Baseball balloons. We have players from the Red Sox and the Orioles coming. I have a comedian, Lamont Price, who's local here in town. He's coming at 7:30. He's doing a 15-minute skit on Boston sports. We have the Fenway Park DJ coming and playing music. It's just going to be a ballpark experience in the harp, and I'm so excited about it, and I'm just so happy that I could do something for Mandy. And every penny goes to her family because she has been quarantined in the hospital, and her medical bills are piling up, and her husband hasn't been able to work because he's had to, watch the kids. So she's in a tough situation. Of course, her health is more important than her bills, but Meet Your Match. Is it Meet Your Match? Yes, Meet Your Match is going to be there. They're going to have a booth set up for swabbing. And it's pretty amazing, Red. What they do is they just take a Q-tip and they go into your cheek and they just go whoop, and they swipe you and they see if you're a match. It's very simple to register. And if you can't save Mandy's life, you can read. You can save somebody else's. So that's the event, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm so proud of it, and I just hope I can freaking pack the place. And just get everybody in there to raise money for a good cause.
I'm sure you will. And it's obviously a phenomenal cause. Obviously some great stuff going on, live comedy. You just mentioned about, you know, enough candy there to feed a third world country, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
Don't even crack the Swedish fish, because you have one of those and they'll all be gone. Don't even. You gotta wrap those
suckers
up.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. The last time I had Swedish fish, though, I got a bellyache because I ate too many. So I'm actually not even touching them. But I have grape licorice here, which is tremendous.
Grape licorice. Now,
grape licorice.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So we're through the looking glass here. This is something else. don't let Truman hear any of it, obviously.
Actually, Truman, believe it or not, he's not that much of an eater. He's a little bit on the thin side, unlike his mom. And I don't think he has a sweet tooth. I actually don't either. I don't eat cake. I don't eat any sweets. I don't eat chocolate. I don't eat ice cream. I eat double cheeseburgers and entire pizzas and turkey sandwiches and
thousands of flavored vodkas. We get your we know where you're coming from here. Any chance you might pull out a dunk tank here, because this event looks like it's going to be a dunk tank.
I was thinking about that though, because the lovely Jenny Dell is going to be there as well. So I don't know, maybe me and Jenny could have mistakenly worn white and got dunked in the tank, but not
going
to happen.
See where that's going. That's a whole other event. That's a whole other event.
I just thought I'd let you go to sleep with some good thoughts.
I've already, once you mentioned Swedish Fish, my night was over. That's my that's my spank bank right there, the Swedish Fish, and I'm done. A great event. You mentioned live comedy, music. The actual Fenway Park DJ will be there. All kinds of baseball-inspired foods, prizes. We don't know who, but obviously
our raffles are ridiculous.
Obviously, you'll have some. You know enough people. There'll be some players there making the scene at some point. You mentioned both.
Yeah, I do know, like, Brian Mattis and Chris Tillman, the guys on the Orioles, are coming. I'm trying to get Adam Jones out of his hotel room, but he's such a homebody. I'm going to drag his ass out. I'm just going to send cards for everybody and be like, the car's outside, honk, honk. And I won't say what Red Sox are coming because I don't want anyone to be disappointed if something comes up. But the four players that I heard are coming are pretty major. So
it's fantastic. And this is Monday, September 16th, starts
Monday,
at
September
6:30.
16th. Yeah, I've been tweeting the hell out of it. So Jen_Royle is my Twitter. Or you can also go to Batter Up Boston. Eventbrite. I think it's EventBrite.
That is right.
Yeah.
That's it. So batterupboston.eventbrite, EventBrite.com.
Yeah. Also on my Facebook page, which is Jen Royle, JenRoyle.
You should be following Jen Royle anyways. If you like the Red Sox, you should be following Jen_Royle anyways, Royle. I mean, that's kind of a given. I mean, that should, when you open a Twitter account, it should like be added automatically, really, as I see it. We're working on that. All right, so a great event. No excuses, really, for not being there. Monday, September 16th at the Harp. Come see Jen Royle and see how many flavored vodkas she can down.
And all the girls will be there. Jenny Dell, myself, Jess Camerato from Comcast, Jessica Moran from Comcast, Danielle Murr from WAAF. You know, I have all the whole Rat Pack is going to be there, all my sports girls in town, and John Dennis will be there for people who are big Dennis and Callahan fans on EEI. It'll be good. And also 98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich, and Dennis and Callahan will be promoting it on Monday morning. So the morning of it. So hopefully we can get a lot of people there. And
fantastic.
I think Sean Thornton's making an appearance. I know Kim Ring is trying to get him to show up. So I think we're going to do well. I hope so.
Fantastic. Well, a great event, and again, another example of some of the great work you're doing for
charity. Yeah, I know. You know, some asshole the other day on Twitter was like, "You're a terrible public figure." I was like, "You're a terrible figure."
You're a horrible person, Jen Royle. You really are.
I know.
Awful.
So funny. Isn't it so funny? Like, people who don't know you, like, hate your guts. And people who do know you, like, think you're the loveliest person on earth. It's like the night and day.
Hey, if you ever need to know anything about Jen Royle, know this. She once bought me a slice of pizza and a couple of beers and picked up the tab. Anyone who picks up the tab for a poor blogger is a good person, and she did that.
Of course.
So there we go.
I'm a very friendly person.
You are very friendly.
People who hate me have never met me, so...
That's it. You're like the Chex cereals, Wheat Chex and Rice Chex. Remember the old ad campaign?
Right.
People who don't like Chex cereals have never tried Chex cereals. People who don't like Jen Royle, I'm not going to say have never tried Jen Royle, but we'll say has never met Jen Royle, so we'll see.
I don't know anybody who's met me that hates me, but I know a lot of people who have never met me that want me dead. So
and a lot of people who've tried you who may say, well, I don't know. But,
yeah, it's very interesting.
But as we go. All right, before we go, can you give us a little more of that David Ortiz impression? Because that was phenomenal.
John Farrell, he the man.
Excellent.
He the man, John Farrell, he the man.
It's like he's here with us. Monday, September 16th at the Harp, we'll all be there. Jen Royle, as always, thank you very much for your time. Jen Royle is on Boston Herald Radio every day from 3 to 6 p.m. with the magnificent John Mita Perel, so you definitely want to check them out. Tune in, watch the video feed, too, because you may see Jen picking her ass.
Yes, that has been known to happen.
It could happen. So that's ratings right there. So let the good times roll. Jen Royal, we love you as always. Thank you very much,
love
and we'll
you
see
more.
You on the 16th.
Okay, see you soon.